I want to welcome you again to Reigning in Love Church. We thank you for coming today. If you're here with us for the first time, we're not going to embarrass you, but we just want to say welcome to you. Amen. We are glad you're here. We're honored that you're here. And we have a no-hassle guarantee here at Reigning in Love Church. If you're visiting with us, we're not going to hassle you. We're not going to call you. We're not going to come to your house. But we do want you to know we think it's special that you've come to join us today. And so we just want to say thank you to you, number one, and just trust that, you know, you'll receive all that God has for you today. Also, if you could just do us a favor, there's a connection card somewhere near you, underneath the seat in front of you probably. If you could just do us a favor and fill that out. Again, I just want to send you one letter, just a welcome letter to you, and if you'll just turn that in out in the lobby after the service, then we want to give you a gift card so you can go have a cup of coffee on us. Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, whatever you prefer. But again, we just thank you for coming to worship with us, and we're glad you're here. I believe this is a church that is, Lori and I have been pastors here for a little over a year now. Some of you have been here for decades, and we're a church in transition. We're a church that's turning the corner. We're getting ready. We're building, and we're getting ready to relaunch this church in 2019. And so there's a lot of change going on here, a lot of growth happening here. And if you live here in the area and you're within driving distance, and you don't have a church, we encourage you just to hook up and join us here. God's doing some wonderful things here with the different ministries and groups that are going on. And so, again, we're just glad that you're here. Amen. Amen. How you doing, Reigning Love Church? Thanksgiving is just a little ways away, amen. I was going to do this later when we do the announcements, but I want to say thank you to all of our veterans that have served on behalf of this country. Today's Veterans Day, amen. And I wish I had a flag ceremony and a 21-gun salute and all that stuff, and I don't, but I take our veterans seriously. We honor them. We thank God for them. How many veterans do we have here today? Praise God. Here's one. We just have one veteran in the house today. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for your service. My father was a veteran. Lori's father was a veteran. I was almost a veteran, but almost doesn't count. Amen. Almost joined the Marine Corps. Almost joined the Navy. But I didn't. And for those of you that did and you served, I honor you. Amen. And we thank God for you. All the freedoms that we enjoy, the blessings that we have as a country, are largely in part to all those who have sacrificed their lives, whether it's in wartime or peacetime, whether you were injured or not, whether, you know, it's not just the ones that we call the heroes that gave their life and paid that ultimate price. Everyone paid some price. Everybody, you know, what's the phrase? Some gave all, but all gave some, right? And so whatever you gave our country and myself personally, we are grateful to you, amen, for what you've given. And so we honor you today, amen. And so take a veteran out to lunch today. Find someone. How many have veterans in our families? I just told you I had. So see, almost most of us have some veteran in our family, someone that we know. Be a blessing to them today. Make sure they know that you love them. Say, well, that, you know, they served a long, long time ago. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they served, you know, if they served in World War II, they probably didn't serve in World War I. Because today's the 100th anniversary to the ending of that war, amen. So probably didn't serve in World War I, but we still have some veterans that served in World War II, and then, of course, everything after that. And so find someone, bless them today, amen. Amen. Well, you ready to get into the Word today? We're going to jump into the Word, and then we'll share some announcements and do the rest of the stuff at the end of the service. But we started a series last week. It's a four-part series called The Power of Praise. The Power of Praise. Now, and I should apologize. I should have done this before we started. But we had a computer. We had some computer issues this last week, so we do not have last week's message or the week before available online, and I apologize. So that's all the more reason you should come to church. No. Just I can't, you know, stuff happens and things happen. Sometimes technology doesn't cooperate. Sometimes people make mistakes, whatever the case may be. So I apologize that the last two services will not be online. So hopefully you were here. But if you weren't here last week, we talked about what is praise. It sounds like a very basic, you know, question. And some of you say, well, I know what praise is, and you probably do. But I'm amazed at how many people don't understand what it is. And even in churches, a lot of people think that praise, you know, the time that we have praise that we just did is just a time to, well, that's just the time you come in to get to church. You know, you find your seat. And if you miss that, it's no big deal. You'll still get here in time for the message. That's not my heart. That's not how I feel. And I hope if that's how you feel, I hope by the end of the series, it'll change your heart and change your mind too. Amen. And so I know we all have struggles trying to get here, and things happen, and there's no guilt or condemnation to anyone for ever being late. I don't care if you come in when I'm giving the announcements at the end of the service. If you showed up, I'm glad to see you. Amen. You missed a lot of stuff, but I'm still glad to see you. Amen. But today, more of you are here at 10 than usual, so thank God for that. I'm believing, I envision a day when the place is full and it's not 10 o'clock yet. And people are here with an expectation and they're ready. Amen. And so you can be part of that. You can be part of making my dream come true. Amen. And you say, that's your dream, Pastor. Of course, you're the pastor. That's what you want to see. No. See, you don't get it. It's not for me. See, some of you think I'm doing this series on praise and worship because, well, I want more people here at 10. I want more people to sing. I want more people. No. When you understand the power of praise, you'll understand I'm wanting this for you, not for me. I'm wanting it for you, and I'm wanting it for this church. It's not about me. Amen? And it's not about me having someone to lead when Connie and I are up here. You know, there's coming a day I won't be up here leading worship. I'm looking forward to that. Don't get me wrong. I'm a worshiper. I love to worship. I've been a worshiper all my life. I've been in worship teams all my life. I've been a singer all my life, but I'm looking forward to the day when I'm not the one up here leading or helping lead. But right now, that's where we're at. That's what we're doing. So it's not self-serving that I want you here at 10 o'clock or a little before 10 o'clock. It's for your benefit, and it's for the benefit of this church. You know, like I said last week, it's for even our visitors when they show up. You don't want to be a visitor coming into a church and the church ain't there yet. You don't want to beat the church there. Right? You want some people to be there when you show up. So praise God. You watch over the next 30 minutes. We'll have more people come in. But that's all right. Don't you get on their case now. When they're coming in late, don't you go up after church and say, man, you were late today. No, that's not what we're about. We're not guilting anybody, and we're not riding and getting on anybody's case or whatever. But I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Amen. So we talked about what praise was. Today, we're going to talk about when are we to praise God. Again, it might be very basic. It might seem very basic to you. But, you know, like I've been saying, it's the basic things that trip us up. It's the things that we know and the things that we know to do that we suddenly find ourselves not doing that are working against us in our life. Amen. You know, football, you know, we're in football season here, right? And it's when the teams start messing up in the fundamentals, start dropping the ball, they're not hanging onto the ball, they're not covering up the ball, they're not executing, they're not hitting their marks, they're not doing what they've been trained to do, they're not doing what they know to do, they're not doing what they practice doing, and the result is failure, right? And so we, in the church, we need to understand that it doesn't matter how many times you've heard this message or if you, you know, and how many times, you know, how much you know about praise and worship. What matters is, are we acting on it? Are we walking it out? Are we living it? Amen? Because if we're not living it, then we don't know it yet the way we need to know it. And if we are living it, then you'll be excited when we preach about it because you're like, I know the power of this, man. I know that this can change a situation. This can change a life. This can change your circumstances. This can be a tide changer. This can really make things happen. You say, what are you saying? Singing can change things? Yeah, you hang with us here, and you'll see it's not just singing. It's praising. It's worshiping. There's a difference between singing and worshiping. Some people want to be on the worship team because they love to sing. There's a difference between singing and worshiping. There's people that can sing, but they're not worshipers. There's people that can play an instrument, and they can play it well. They're skilled, but they're not worshipers. Okay? We're looking for worshipers. Amen? There are people that can't sing a lick, and they're worshipers. They're the ones fulfilling that scripture. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if you're sitting next to them, you might think that's just a bunch of noise. But if it's coming from a heart for God, it's worship. And God receives it as worship. So, man, when I'm sitting next to someone and they're missing every note and missing every beat and just tearing it up, but, man, I can see it's all over their face, man. They're lost in the presence of God and they're worshiping. I'm like, you go, man, you go. You worship. Because I'd rather be in a room full of people that can't sing that are worshipers than be in a room full of people that can sing that aren't worshipers. Okay, I'll quit meddling. So when are we to praise God? That's today's message in the second part in the power of praise. God is worthy. This is the point I want to. This is our main point for the day. All right, God is worthy of our praise all day, every day, no matter what kind of day it is. And I got one amen out of that. God, I'm going to say it again. I'll give you another chance. God is worthy of our praise all day, every day, no matter what kind of day it is. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. You know, it's been said there are two times when we should praise God, when you feel like it and when you don't. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? The psalmist in Psalm 34:1 said, I will bless the Lord at all times. How often? At all times, his praise will continually be in my mouth. We'll get into that a little more next week. But, you know, praise ought to be in your mouth. It ought not just be in your heart. It's great that you have praise in your heart towards God, but it ought to come out of your mouth. Amen? It ought to come out of your mouth, because it's when it comes out of your mouth that power is released. It's when it comes out of your mouth that it can change your circumstance, all right? So we'll talk about that. Another translation, the Message Bible says, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. Every chance I get, I love that, amen? David, he was a worshiper, amen? He was a worshiper. Praise should be a lifestyle. We should bless and honor God on a regular basis. So when are we to praise God? Well, we just read it, at all times. But I want to break that down a little further than just all times, because it's easy to say, well, all times. Yeah, I know, all times. But let's talk about the different times of our life and the challenges to praising God in all times or during all times. Amen? Because it's easy to say praise him at all times, but it's a whole other ball game to understand in the midst of the different times of our life how we go about praising him, okay? So the first time that we are to praise God, the first time I want to talk about, is in the best of times. It's in the best of times. Now, you would think that's the easiest time to praise God. And it is an easy time to praise God when in the best of times, when things are going great. You know, when your marriage is going great and the kids are doing well and you're not in pain, you're free from sickness and disease and your bills are paid and you actually have money for Christmas before it comes. You know, I mean, there's so many, and so things are going well. You know, you're in a job that you love. I know for some of you, I'm prophesying to you, but I mean, you're in a job that you love. You can't wait to get there. There's purpose in your life. You're surrounded by family and friends, and things are going well. I mean, you think it'd be easy to praise God in those times, but what I've found in my life is even though these should be the easiest times to praise God, many times people still fail to give God praise in those best of times. Sometimes we don't give credit where credit is due. Things are going well, and we're not praising the one who's responsible for things going well. You know, people are funny, man. We can be really prideful. We can be really arrogant if we don't watch ourselves. You know, it's oftentimes people tend to think that, well, things just worked out, because of their own doing. Or, you know, more than it was God's doing. You know, when things work out, ten people seem to think, you know, I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I figured that out. I overcame this. Oh, wait. The only reason you did anything is because of God. And I'm going to show you from the scripture, too. Some people think, what do you mean, Pastor? I, man, you might be thinking, I don't even have God in my life and things are going well. You're telling me that even though I don't have God in my life, even though I don't have a relationship with him, that things are still going well because of God? Yeah. I mean, let's go to the basics, all right? The only reason you have breath is because of God. Let's just get fundamental here, right? You didn't just crawl out of some swamp somewhere, man. And I mean, you were created, and you were created by a living God, and you were created with purpose in your life. Amen. And anything good that happens in your life, it happens because there's a God that created you. Well, I was smart enough to figure it out. Yeah, who gave you that brain? I mean, we could go on, but you know, it's funny how people think sometimes. You know, they don't understand the reason why they're so blessed is actually because of God. And then there are some people who understand they are blessed because of God, but they're just not grateful people. Don't be one of them. Amen. Thanksgiving is coming, but I know we talked a lot about gratefulness and Thanksgiving when it comes Thanksgiving. But man, for the believer, we ought to be thankful 24/7, 365 days a year. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. And so give God thanks for all those things. Give him credit. When something good happens, give him credit for it. Amen. Be a grateful person. Be a thankful person. Be a praiser. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. How many good and perfect gifts are from above? He said every. Every. If something good's going on in your life, if something's perfect in your life, if things are going well in your life, it's because of him. It's because of him. Some people don't understand this about God. God is trying to bless you even when you're not even interested in him. Some people have so the wrong idea about God, that he's some mean judge and you know, he's just ready to judge, and he's angry at us because of our sins. And yeah, he was so angry because of our sin that he sent Jesus to die for our sins so that our sins could be forever washed away. See the contradiction? He's a God that he's always trying to love. He's always loving. He's always trying to bless. He's always trying to help. But we make it hard, especially when we're not interested in him and we're not believing in him or not following him. You know, we make it difficult. But that's his nature, is to bless. He is love. It is his nature to give. It is his nature to bless. Amen. And so, anything good that happens in your life, it comes from him. You know, when I think about things, you know, I said, some people don't recognize that even the things that happen in your life are because of him, not because of you. You know, and this is a simple illustration. You may have heard me talk about this before. It's a very simple illustration, but yet it helps me keep my mind where it should be concerning the things of God. When you go to the grocery store, you ever go to the grocery store and you just want to get one item, and while you're at the grocery store, all of a sudden this other item that you didn't go to get pops into your head? You ever been there? Some of you know where I'm headed with this, don't you? And it's just this happened to me just last week. Again, it happens to me all the time. You think I'd learn? Sometimes I get it right, but I'm amazed still how many times I get it wrong. So this other thing pops into my head, and I dismiss it. I think, oh, no, that's good. Got that. And I get home only to find out that the thing that popped into my head was something I needed. I just didn't know I needed it. And I'm like, I was right there, man. And you say, well, what was that? Where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? I believe with all my heart it came from God. It didn't come from me, because if it came from me, then why did I dismiss it? Why would I give myself a good idea and then ignore it? Huh? So it wasn't me that came up. It wasn't me that said, you need bread. It was God trying to help me while I'm already there. And I dismiss it, and I go home and find out, I need bread, man. So I'm going to turn around and go back. You right? I mean, it's just an illustration of how I used to tell Lori, my wife, I used to say, you know, I wasn't led very well today. And then I corrected myself. I realized the problem wasn't with the leading. The problem was with the following. It wasn't that I wasn't led well. I was led wonderfully. I just didn't follow the lead so well or at all. Right? The problem is never on God's end. It's always on our end. Amen? He's always trying to help. He's always trying to bless. Even, I know that's a little thing. That's not a life changer. That's not, okay. And especially when you live, in, right now I live like a minute and a half from the grocery store. So it's not going to, you know, it's not going to kill me to turn around and go back to the store. But it's like, you know, it's just, I've got other things to do. I've got better things to do than go back and forth to the store. Right? But I'm trying to illustrate a point how God is always trying to help us, even in the simplest ways. You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, "But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives," you can preach all day on that, "he gives his sunlight," I love this translation, "he gives his sunlight," huh? That's, you know, that's his son. It's not just a son. It's not just the son. It's his son. He created it. He placed it. Amen. And he placed it perfectly. You know, science tells us if the earth was just a hair closer to the sun, we would all burn up. If the earth was just a hair farther away from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. But God placed it just perfectly. Amen. To be a blessing, does it? So it's his son. So he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. Oh, look at that. He's blessing the good and the evil. Amen. Why would he bless evil? Because he's a blesser. He's a lover. He's a giver. Amen. He's for you. He's not against you. He's even for the evil one. He's not for the evil that they do, but he's for the evil one, wanting their heart to be changed, wanting their hearts to be turned toward him, to be transformed from evil to good. Amen. He says he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain. Now, see, remember, back in this day, it was an agricultural society, man. I mean, everything, you know, rises and falls on the harvest, the crops, man. We, you know, if the crop fails here, you can't go, you just can't send for something from Brazil. Right, that's what happens here, right? I knew a bunch of farmers. I'm from Nebraska, so farming was a big deal there. But out in California, I mean, tons of farms out there and fruit and vegetables and everything. And those farms are drying up and having trouble. And that's a whole nother. I won't even get into that. Why that's all happening. But when those crops fail and stuff and they struggle, that's all right. We'll just get it from South America. We'll just get it from Mexico. We just get it from somewhere else, right? But no, back in this day, it's a bigger deal. It wasn't that easy, right? So it says he sends rain, and notice what he sends on the just and the unjust alike. While the believer's out there watching God water his crops, water her crops, and making those crops grow, guess what? The unjust one, the evil one's out there enjoying the same rain. Huh? Enjoying the same rain, because God, he gives to the good, to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He's always trying to help. He's always seeking to bless. So make sure you don't forget to praise him for the good things that are happening in your life. And when you're in the best of times, you give him praise. Amen. You acknowledge, man, God, you're awesome. And thank you that things are going well in my life. Thank you for, and I'll tell you what, that's the key to helping things continue to go well too. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're always going to have tests. You're always going to have trials. You're always going to have problems to overcome. But a grateful person will have greater success than an ungrateful person. So give thanks to God. Amen. Praise him. Even when everything seems to be going wrong. We'll get to that. Let me get it. Because we not only praise him in the best of times, but we also praise him in the worst of times. And we don't like to talk about the worst of times, do we? They come. We've been through it. We've gone through it. And the worst of times, they're no fun to go through. I don't want to belittle the worst of times or make it seem like they're easy to go through. I mean, we go through a lot of pain. We go through a lot of suffering. We go through a lot of things. We've gone through a lot of tests and trials and a lot of circumstances, but I want you to take heart in this today, all right? I want you to, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, one of my favorite scriptures. How can you have a favorite scripture? I think I do have one, but this is certainly one of my favorite. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, talking about this natural world, this natural realm, this physical realm, but on what is unseen, talking about the things of God. You know, there is another realm where God lives. It's a spiritual realm. It's an unseen realm to our natural eyes, right? So he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The things of God are unchanging. The realm of God is unchanging. The goodness of God and all of his blessings, they're unchanging. But what is seen, our circumstances, whatever we're going through today, is temporary. You know what temporary means? You know what temporary means, but I like this definition. It means it's subject to change. I want you to know that today, because you might be here today, you might find yourself in the worst of times. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to, and when I say encouraged, I'm not talking about just put a smile on your face while the ship's going down. I'm not talking about that. I want you to be encouraged to know that God can turn your situation around. Whatever you're going through is temporary. It's subject to change. Now, there's some things that you need to do to cooperate with God so that he can change it, but it is subject to change. I don't care how long it's been the way it's been, how long you've been dealing with the same circumstance, the same trial, the same test, the same problem. I'm telling you, it is subject to change. You just need to get God working on it with you. Amen. Just need to find out how to tap into his power and to bring his presence and his power to bear on the scene, to bring change in your life. Amen? But it is subject to change. I promise you it is. I've watched it so many times over and over and over. Okay? And this is one of the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's one of these scriptures that is one of these scriptures where people usually quote half of it. Do you know there's a reason why there's the other half? God wasn't through talking yet. Huh? Sometimes people run off. Have you ever had any, you've been in a conversation with someone and you're in the middle of a sentence and you start to speak and they think they know where you're going and they jump in and they start talking, they take over and say, no, no, and then you're like, that's not even where I was going. You didn't let me finish saying what I was saying. And all you husbands that have done that to your wives, yeah, just like me. I'm sorry, hon. I thought I knew where you're going, but it wasn't. You know, but so this is one of the scriptures. Now, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Oh, Pastor, isn't that great? God's able to do more than we could ever ask, more than we could ever imagine. Woo, glory to God. Yes, it's going to turn around. The circumstances that you said it, Pastor, they're temporary. They're subject to change. God's going to turn it around. He's going to do more than all I could ask or all I could imagine. Not necessarily. You got to read the rest of the verse. He said, it's according to, that's important. It's according to, what's according to? His ability to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine is according to his power that is at work within us. So what is he saying? He's saying if there's no power at work within you, then God's ability to turn your situation around, God's ability to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, is hindered. God needs us to cooperate with him. From a sure power standpoint, yes, he has the ability to do anything, but he doesn't, from a legal standpoint. And I know that may be a new phrase to you or whatever, to think that God works in legalities. Yes, there's things that God will not do simply because he has declared, I will, you know, he gave you free will. And he will not override your free will. Now, if you're smart and you surrender your free will to him and you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Now you bring him into your life. Now you bring him, his power, his presence into your circumstance to help. But God will not violate your free will. That's why you need to do something. You need to bring him into your situation. you need to make contact with him. You need to find out how do you make that power work in you. I don't want to hinder God. We know he's able. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. But if it's according to the power that's at work within me, then I need to find out, how do I activate that power? How do I release that power? Because I don't want to be the hindrance to God's power moving in my circumstance. I want to give him free rein. God, yeah, you come on in. You come on in and you bring your power and your presence into the situation, and you do what I can't do. Amen? He will do what you can't do if you'll do what you're supposed to do. Amen? If you'll do what you can do. Amen? So we release his power in our lives when we believe his word in our hearts and we speak it with our mouths. But you know, oftentimes we need to stir ourselves up, especially when you're in a situation where you're going through a test, you're going through a trial, you're in the worst of times. Your emotions get involved, and emotions are powerful. But God never intended for your emotions to rule you. God never intended for your emotions to call the shots in your life. Your emotions, ideally, are supposed to be an expression of your spirit, but they're not supposed to dominate you and control you. And so we have to be careful when it comes to our emotions. Remember, our emotions are part of our soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Remember, you're a three-part being. You're a spirit being created in the likeness and image of God, he said. You are a spirit being. That's the true you on the inside. You're a spirit. That's why you don't cease existing when your body dies. And Paul said, you know, for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because you're not going to cease to exist just as your body dies. You're a spirit being. Your spirit, as a believer, is going to go to be with God in his presence. All right? So you're a spirit being. You have a soul. You have a mind, will, and emotions. And you live inside this body. You know, Paul called it, you know, a temple or a tabernacle. It's a house. It's an earthly house for you, your spirit person, the real you, to live in. And you ought to take good care of your house. Because when your house falls down, then, well, you're in the presence of the Lord. Because your house didn't hold up, right? So take good care of your house. But but our soul that has the mind, will, and emotions, okay, so that's where the will is. That's, and the emotions, like I said, our emotions can be so powerful. And when you're in a bad place, when you're going through the worst of times, it's difficult. You don't just automatically want to praise God. You don't feel like praising God. And the psalmist knew something about that too. David here in Psalm 42, he said, he's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Now, there's different ways to talk to yourself. There's, you know, they may not all be healthy, but this is a healthy way to talk to yourself. David is talking to his soul. What do you mean talking to his soul? David, his spirit man, the real David, is talking to his soul. He's talking and talking to a specific part of his soul, in being his emotions right now, okay? And he said in verse 5, he said, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Now, see, that's a person who has some great understanding there, because a lot of times we think our emotions, well, that's who we are. No, it's not who you are. You may be the emotion you're experiencing right now, but the spirit on the inside of you, particularly if you are a spirit being that's come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're a born-again believer, your spirit being, your spirit being is separate from your soul, and your spirit can talk to your soul. You can talk to your soul. You can talk. That's what David's doing. Why, my soul? Why are you downcast? In other words, you're not doing real well right now, soul. Your emotions aren't very good right now. You're experiencing some difficulty with your emotions. Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? See, he's not talking to someone else. He's talking about himself, his own soul on the inside of him. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. David's telling his soul, you put your hope in God. Come on, knock it off. Why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will, now she's saying my spirit man, I will yet praise him. He's taking control over his emotions. He's not letting his emotions dominate him. He's dominating his emotions. He's telling his emotions, you're not doing well right now. Come on. I will praise him. yet I will praise him. Even in the midst of this, I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And then you know what he does a few verses later? You ever had to tell your kid the same thing twice? Three times, four times. You ever had those days? It's like, Lord, does he have a brain? Is he ever gonna get it? How many times do I have to tell this child, you know? But even as adults, we don't always get it the first time, do we? So just a few verses later, in the same psalm, Psalm 42, verse 11, David says the exact same words. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within? He's already talked to his soul once, but sometimes you got to keep talking to your soul. Sometimes you got to keep talking to yourself. You got to keep speaking the word of God. You got to keep praising him. You got to keep control of the situation. You're a spirit being. Your spirit's alive under God. God lives inside of you. There is no problem that you and God cannot overcome. So don't let your emotions lie to you and tell you it's the end of the line. It's never going to get any better. All hope is lost. You might as well kill yourself. No, nothing's ever going to change. Lie, 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 lie. And you got to take control over it, or your emotions will have you in a ditch somewhere. I know it's not easy. Man, I know those emotions. If there's one thing I've been working on the last few years of my life is my emotional intelligence, my emotional maturity, control over my emotions. And I'm learning to recognize when I'm starting to go down a scale and starting to go into a bad place emotionally, and I know where the end goes. You see, you learn to catch yourself. You learn to recognize, all right, okay, I'm here. I want to be here, because here leads to here, and leads to here, and leads to here. Right? So if I catch my, I recognize I'm here, I need to get back up here. I need to get back up here with God. Get back up to this place of wholeness and restoration and joy and peace. And you can do it with God's help. Amen? But that's what David's doing here. Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. It's so important that we do that. It's so important that we take control over our emotions. And even in the worst of times, I know your emotions are all over the map. And I'm not faulting you for that. My emotions go all over the map too. The difference is, are you going to let your emotions control you or not? Or are you going to do what the psalmist said and put your hope in God and praise him in spite of how you feel? Because that has the power to do something. Matter of fact, we see it in Acts chapter 16. We won't turn over there, but Acts chapter 16, you can read about it on your own. Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison, and they had been thrown into prison unjustly. There was a girl that had been following them around. She had a spirit in her that allowed her to read fortunes and stuff, and she was making money for her handlers, for her people. And finally, after Paul and Silas had been harassed by her long enough, they finally said enough is enough, and they turned to her and they cast the demon out of her. They cast that spirit out of her. And so now she lost the power to read fortunes. She lost the power. And I tell you what, that's a series we're going to get into after the holidays. I don't know when, but sometime early next year, I'm telling you, there's stuff that's crept into the church that doesn't belong in the church. We got Christians, born-again Christians, messing around with mediums and psychics and all kinds of stuff, and they think it's all God, and they think it's all good, and it's all, you know, it's all spiritual. No, no, no. You got to know the difference between God spiritual and devil spiritual. But that's another sermon, that's another series for another day. But so this woman, this girl, she had lost the ability that she had, and so all the people that were making money off of her gift, in quotations, gift, demonic gift, were mad at Paul and Silas. So they stirred up the whole town against him, and they got him thrown into prison. So they're in there unjustly. And you know, when you're just doing the work of God, that's what all Paul and Silas were doing, man. They were preaching the gospel. They were seeing people get saved and people get healed and setting people free. And you know, and then what do they get for? They get thrown in prison. To no fault of their own, nothing they did. And some people, when they find themselves in a place like that, would get mad at God. God, well, what am I serving you for? I was talking with a pastor just this last week, and he said, man, I was in a really bad funk. He said, I was like, you know, all this stuff is going wrong, and I'm getting harassed here and over there and over here, and this is going wrong. That's, my wife got cancer, and this is, you know, all this stuff going on. And he's like, I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to, that's it. I quit. I'm leaving the ministry. I'm done. And sometimes you get to that place where it's like, man, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything I know to do. And this is still not working, man. It's still not working. And Paul and Silas could have gone down that road. God, we're out here doing your work. And what, now we're in prison? And I'm telling you, prison then wasn't prison now. And I'm not saying prison is good anytime, any place. But back then, man, you get thrown in prison back then, and you got rats, and you got stench, and you got unsanitary conditions, and not only were they thrown in prison, but their feet were shackled, so they're bound too. And so when the rats come, you can't run very far. And so they're going through all this stuff. But what if you know the story? And many of you do. But if you know the story, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Now I wonder which one of them started that. The Bible doesn't tell. I wonder what the conversation was leading up to that. I wonder if Paul turned to Silas and said, well, you want to sing? Huh? We're in shackles. We're in a smelly prison. We're in a nasty place for no fault of our own, nothing we did wrong. It's midnight. You want to sing? You want to pray? I don't know how it started. I don't know how they got it rolling, man, but at midnight, they're singing praises to God. They're praising God. Amen. You tell me you can't praise God when things are going bad? You can. If Paul and Silas could do it, you can do it. Amen. So they start singing praises to God. What happened? The Bible says there was a great earthquake. And some people, you know, people that don't believe the miracles in the Bible say, oh, well, the earthquake caused everything to happen for them. Yeah, the earthquake caused the prison doors to swing wide open. It didn't cause the prison to collapse on them, right? It caused the doors to swing wide open, and all of their shackles and all the other prisoners' shackles were suddenly loosed. Yeah, that's exactly what happens in an earthquake, right? Doesn't say anything about any walls coming down, anything collapsing on anybody, no one's dying. I mean, the only thing that happened was the doors flung open wide and all the shackles were loosed. Sounds like a pretty good earthquake to live through. And to show you how supernatural it was, not only were they loosed, but then the jailer, he was going to kill himself, man, because he thought, I messed up. All these people are getting loose, and I'm responsible for them. And Paul's like, no, we're all here. And so the jailer and his whole family end up getting saved. But how did it all start? Paul and Silas, at the midnight hour, began to sing praises to God. They prayed and sang praises to God. Amen? I wonder what prayer and praise could do for you in your midnight hour. I wonder what has you bound. What prison is it, are you subject to in your life today? What do you find yourself in today? You know, have you been trapped by fear? Have you been trapped by insecurity? Or maybe the pain and the regret of your past has you feeling like you're imprisoned? Or maybe it's not even anything that you did. Maybe it's something that was done to you, something that was done against you. And you feel like you've been living in a prison, not like Paul and Silas, not to any fault of your own, but because of what someone else did, because of someone else's evil deed. And you're paying a price for it, and you're suffering for it. I wonder, you know, or maybe it's circumstances like I was talking about earlier that they haven't changed in a long time, and you feel like you're imprisoned, maybe imprisoned by sickness and disease, or imprisoned by poverty or lack, or whatever your situation may be. You're doing your best, but nothing seems to change, and your body's still riddled with pain, and maybe your husband or your wife is not reciprocating your love, and maybe it's been going on like that for a long time. time. Maybe you have children that are far from God. What is your circumstance today? What is your situation? You know, maybe everything is going wrong, but if we'll recognize that praise can change the environment of our lives, praise can bring God's presence, God's help, God's power into our circumstances. You know, what a wonderful thing can happen in our midst if we'll give ourselves to praise. But it won't do us any good until we actually begin to practice it. Because you can read the story about Paul and Silas all day, every day, but you know what? Until you begin to do what they did, you're not going to experience the breakthrough that they experienced. And I tell you what, for them to be, the scriptures don't tell us specifically, but in order for them to be talking about praying and singing praises at midnight in the prison, I would venture to say this is not the first time they prayed. And it wasn't the first time they sang praises. Matter of fact, for them to give themselves to prayer and praise at that dark hour of their life tells me that they were prayers all the time. They were praisers all the time. They had a lifestyle of both. It wasn't a Hail Mary, man. It wasn't, well, what do you think, Silas? I don't know, Paul. You want to try praying? Huh? You want to try singing? It wasn't just some kind of thought that just popped into their head and something, you know, we've never done this before. Let's try this. No, this is something they've obviously had a lifestyle of prayer and praise. And so when the pressure's on, when the pressure's on, you're like a sponge. When you put pressure on a sponge, you find out what's in it, don't you? You find out if there's anything in it at all. Because if you put pressure on a dry sponge, nothing happens. It's hard. You put pressure on a wet sponge, well, you're going to find out how wet it is if you keep squeezing. But whatever's in that sponge is going to come out. Well, Paul and Silas were the sponge, man. The pressure was on, but they got squeezed, and what came out? Prayer and praise. And the fact that praise came out with the prayer, it wasn't just prayer, it was prayer and praise, tells me what kind of prayer they were praying too. It wasn't that prayer of, oh, God, you know, we're done for. You know, no, it must have been a prayer. They're praying the power of God into the situation. They were praying a prayer of victory. It wasn't a prayer of desperation. It wasn't a prayer full of hopelessness, because there's praise attached to it. Amen. So I challenge you. Don't wait till you're in the worst of times. If you're in the worst of times now, I want to challenge you. Begin to think about whatever good is happening in your life. If there's any good in your life, and there is good in your life, like we said earlier, the sun, God causes the sun to shine on the evil and the good. There's some good in your life. Find the good and start to praise God for it. Amen. And if you're not going through the worst of times, then use this time to begin to develop a lifestyle of praise, so that when those times come, and they will come. I hate to tell you that. I'm not a doom and gloom pastor, but man, life happens, and it happens to all of us. Amen. And it's going to come, but if you have a lifestyle of praise, you're going to get through it a lot quicker. You're going to get through it a lot easier. Okay, so we praise him in the best of times. We praise him in the worst of times. There's another time we need to praise him, a time you don't maybe think about very often, but we praise him in the mundane in-between times. In the mundane in-between times, when it's not the best of times and it's not the worst of times. It's just another day. It's just another day. If praise is going to become a lifestyle, we need to learn to praise him all the time. Oftentimes, the normal days of our life are the hardest times to praise God, because there's nothing in particular to draw our attention to him. We're not on a mountaintop. Things aren't great. We're not in the valley. We're not in the worst of times. We're not in a desperate situation. And so there's nothing in particular to draw our attention to him. So those can be some of the hardest times to praise God. You know, it's funny. We tend to be moved by the highs and the lows of life. But most days are neither. Most days are just days, just another day, all right? That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul here in verses 16 through 18 said, rejoice when? Always. Rejoice always. Pray when? Continually. You see a pattern developing here, don't you? Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just for the good circumstances, and not just in the midst of bad circumstances, but in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not all circumstances are good, but we can give thanks to Him in all circumstances. How can you give thanks to God in a bad circumstance? Well, because you can thank, you can find out what His promises are, and you can give thanks for His promises. You can give thanks to Him for His presence. You can give thanks to Him for all that He's promised to do for you in the midst of those bad circumstances. So you're not giving God thanks because you got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, but you're giving God thanks that in the midst of that situation, in the midst of that bad doctor's report, you have a higher report from the Word of God that says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. So even in the midst of a bad circumstance, you can praise Him. Amen? So we praise Him in the mundane and the in-between times. And then last thing I'm going to look at here, we're almost done, is we praise Him in public and in private. In public and in private. You need to do both. You need to do both. Both are so important. Some people will praise Him when they come to church, but they never praise Him in between Sundays. And some people, they'll praise Him at home, but they won't praise Him in church. They say, you know, I'm shy. I get it, you know. in New England, you know, sometimes it's funny. The stereotype in New England from the rest of the nation when you hear them talk about us is that, well, they're quiet and they're reserved people. It's like, well, that's some of us. Some New Englanders are just radical, loud, and boisterous. Come on, man. You ever been to a Red Sox game? or worse, a Bruins game? Come on, man. There's nothing quiet and reserved about fans at a Bruins game, man. Just wear the wrong jersey and test the waters. See how that goes for you, all right? So it's like one extreme or the other, isn't it? It's like we're really, really conservative, and, oh, you know, I can't be. Don't ask me to praise out loud. You know what's this public singing? What? No, I ain't gonna do that. You know, and then there's the other end of the spectrum. Of, yeah, you know, it's like you think you're at a football game, and I would rather have that, to be honest with you. And people say, "Oh no, Pastor, be still and know that He is God." Yeah, the Bible says that one time. One time, you know how many times the Bible says, "Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." Amen. Sing praises. Come on. Drummers love the psalms, man. Come on. Work those cymbals, man. Work those cymbals. and the music director's like, come on. Tone down those cymbals, dude. Come on. I'm being scriptural, you know. But so it's public and private. We need both. It shouldn't be just one or the other. Amen. I mean, even in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, Paul says talks about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that phrase here. I didn't highlight it, but that phrase, give thanks to God to God the Father for everything. You said, well, Pastor, you just said that you don't give God thanks for everything. You give God thanks in everything. Just because, you know, you don't give God thanks, you know, that you got a diagnosis of cancer. I agree. But, you know, so you got to rightly divide this verse. You know, Jesus said, give unto God that which is God's and give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So when he says give God thanks for everything, what he means here is you give God thanks for the things that God has done. You don't give God thanks for something the devil did. Huh? You don't give God thanks for the stupid thing that you did or the stupid thing that I did. We give God thanks for the things that he's done. So we give him thanks for what he has done, but we can give him thanks in the midst of everything else. Amen. For what he is, for who he is, and what he's promised to do for us. Amen. So speaking to one another from your heart to the Lord. That's the key of praise right there. It's not just singing a song. It's not just going through the motions, okay? It's get your heart, connect your heart to God. Lift your heart to Him. No, don't just say, yeah, open your mouth, but connect your heart to Him and let it be from the heart. Let Him know how much you love Him. Amen? Amen. And you know, another verse about public praise, Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad. And the Message Bible says, when they said, let's go to the house of God, my heart leaped for joy. Amen. There is something about getting together and entering into public praise. Amen. Entering into praise and worship with one another. It does something. We should learn to praise Him at home. You should be praising Him throughout the week. You should be praising Him throughout the day. Absolutely. You should learn to praise Him in private. But then when we come together, lift up. You know, that's why we always, I don't know what the music sounds like out there, but it ought to be loud enough where you can sing without being self-conscious about yourself. Some say, why can't we just soften the music? Well, for most people, it needs to be a little louder, because if it's not loud enough, you won't sing. Unless you're a Bruins fan, then you'll sing no matter how loud it is. But if you're on the conservative side, you know, I ain't gonna sing because I can hear myself. If I can hear myself, everyone around me can hear myself, and so people stop singing. So you raise the volume. That's a whole nother story. I don't need to know all that, but praise Him. We ought to come to church to praise Him. We ought to be praising Him at home. We ought to be praising Him at all times. Like our takeaway that we started with, we'll end with this. God is worthy of our praise all day, every day, no matter what kind of day it is. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Oh, I believe that with all my heart. So I want to encourage you, exhort you, continue to develop your praise life. Amen. Continue to make time. And whether it's in the shower, on the drive to and from work, whether it's on break, whatever you got to do, find time to praise Him. Amen. Just make it part of your lifestyle. Yeah, I know you could be listening to that podcast, or you could be doing this, you could be doing that, you could have that TV show. Just take a few minutes and praise Him. Take a few minutes and give Him thanks. Take a few minutes and exalt Him. I tell you, it will change your mood. It will change the atmosphere of your home, of your job, of your family, whatever it is, whatever atmosphere needs to be changed. Amen. Sometimes, you know, that people take smoke breaks, right? Just take a praise break. Man, I just need to get out of here for a second, man. You know, some people, they're stressed out. They need to go outside and smoke one. You might need to go find a stall in the bathroom and just, oh, praise you, Jesus. Help me with these people, man. Help me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this workday, but oh, I praise you, Jesus. You're going to help me. And just take some time to exalt Him. Amen? And if somebody comes in on you while you're praising God, well, hey, they'll have a story to tell, right? Yeah, I went to the bathroom at work, and someone's in there praising God, man. I don't know what was going on in that stall, but then there's music coming from there. Whatever. But we're going to be praisers. Amen? We are created to praise Him, to worship Him, to love and adore Him, not because we have to, but because we choose to. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You. I praise You today for Your goodness. Thank You, Father God, oh, for being such an amazing God. It's so easy to praise You, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, just help me worship Him this morning. Just help me praise Him. Go ahead and lift your voice. Amen. Let's praise Him again. I know we did earlier, but Lord, we bless You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we magnify You at all times. We praise You, Lord, in the best of times, in the worst of times, in all the in-between times, Lord, we give You praise. We glorify You, Lord. Hallelujah. We rejoice in God, our Savior. We rejoice because we're never alone. We're never without help. Oh, we rejoice, Lord, because You and us, we can do anything. We can accomplish anything. We can make it through anything together. We are never alone. We're never without Your presence, never without Your power. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We thank You for giving us Your presence. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You that You do inhabit the praises of Your people. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, give Him praise. Give Him praise. It'll turn your attitude around. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Amen. You need some joy in your life, you just need to spend some time praising him.